Welcome back to Go Gaddis Real Estate Radio right here on AM 920 The Answer. In this segment, what is a seller's market and how does it influence buyers and sellers who are in the market today? And how should you best use your tax refund if you are fortunate enough to get one toward either the purchase of or reduction in cost or payment toward the closing cost of a mortgage? We've got those subjects and more. Don't forget, we want to connect with you, and it is easy. Go to gogaddisradio.com, GOGADDISradio.com. You can ask questions that we answer on air or off air. You can make comments. You can push back or challenge anything we say. You can share your ideas with us, which we love. You can request. We do additional research on your neighborhood and include your neighborhood in our neighborhood spotlight. And you can subscribe to our podcast. We're available on every major podcasting platform. Elena in Canton submitted a question. I guess we are still in a seller's market. What exactly is it and how long will it last? You know, if you're curious as to what a seller's market means and how it impacts both buyers and sellers, then this segment is probably for you. Now, the definition I'm going to give you, Elena, for a seller's market is different than you'll hear if you listen to national economists tell you, because economists will say that the real estate market is in balance when you have 6 months worth of inventory, which means if you had 1 million listings, half of those listings would sell in less than 6 months and half of those listings would sell in more than 6 months. And Elena, if you had your home listed and you knew you were going to have to keep it listed for 6 months before you could find a buyer, I don't believe that you would feel like you were in control of the market as a seller. So I have a slightly different definition. If economists listen to it, they might think, well, what a joke. But I'm giving you my definition from the seller's perspective, meaning how many months worth of inventory can you have when the seller still feels like he or she is in control? And then how many months do you have when buyers will feel like they're in control? And so I don't know if you're driving or if you're at a place you can write this down. Maybe you can just remember it. But here's how I calculate whether or not we're in a seller's market, a balanced market, or a buyer's market. I'll tell you first what numbers mean what, and then I'll tell you how we calculate it if that's of any interest to you. If I were you and I was thinking about buying or selling, one of the things that I would want to know would be the month's worth of inventory so I could know, are we in a seller's market, a balanced market, or a buyer's market? And you say, well, how would that help me? Well, as a seller, if you knew you were in a screaming seller's market, you might price your home more aggressively. As a buyer, if you realized that a neighborhood or a school district had switched over to a buyer's market, you might make a more aggressive offer, a lower offer. Can you imagine the anxiety you would feel if you didn't know that you were in one type of market and you acted like you were in another type of market and you wind up leaving money on the table, meaning leaving money on the table in your sales price or leaving money on the table in terms of paying more as a buyer? So here's how we break it down. If you have less than 4 months worth of inventory, we consider that a seller's market. The closer to zero you go, the more heated, the more screaming the seller's market is, the more the seller has an advantage. And don't worry, for those of you who are getting confused right now, I'm going to straighten it all out in a minute when I tell you how we do the math. If a market has 4 to 5 months worth of inventory, we say that is a balanced market, meaning really the buyer doesn't have a particular advantage. The seller doesn't have a particular advantage. Everybody's got to get in the sandbox and play nicely in order to get a deal done. If you have more than 5 months worth of inventory, we say you are in a buyer's market. Now, Elena's question was, what is it? Which I hope I've just explained, and how long will it last? And my guess is, Elena, that we're going to be in a seller's market for 3 to 5 more years, because the issue is we don't have enough standing inventory. We don't have enough homes and apartments and housing units for all of the households that have been created in this country over the last few years. And so it is a supply and a demand problem. Now let's talk about how you calculate the month's worth of inventory. So let's say I take a high school district in Cobb County and I'm a buyer, and I want to know how many months' worth of inventory there is of a $750,000 to $1.25 million home in a gated community that has a golf course. Well, I can look in Cobb County, and as an agent, I can determine here is the number of listings that have been sold in that geographic area over the last 12 months. I can also then look at the number of listings. And so let's just say that there were 100 homes that had sold in that category, in that geographic area in the last year. That means there's 8.33 homes sold per month. 100 divided by 12 is 8.33. Let's say there are currently 16 homes listed for sale. At 8.33 home sales per month, it would take 2 months to sell 16 homes. Before, I said that if we were under 4 months worth of inventory, it was a seller's market. If I say we have two, then we are in the middle of a seller's market, really. You know, from 1.5 to 2 is in the middle of the seller's market, which means it is a seller's market. It's not a screaming seller's market, and it's not an almost balanced seller's market. It is a good, solid seller's market. If you have the same 8.33 homes per month that have sold over the last year, and now let's say you have 48 homes available for sale, well, it would take 6 months to sell those 48 houses as at 8.33 homes per month. And if you had 6 months worth of inventory, as we mentioned before, six is in excess or higher than the 4 to 5 months worth of inventory that is a balanced market, and you would be in a buyer's market. Now, just because you have a lot of inventory in a certain area does not mean that the buyer is going to rule the roost, because you have all different sort of categories. And so we could take all that inventory, those 100 sales in the country club communities with the golf community in Cobb County. And I just made all of these numbers up, by the way, but we could say, I only want to look at homes that look like they were built in 2020 to 2024. And you know what that means. You know, the kitchens are whiter and lighter, and the bathrooms are lighter and whiter, and there's no wallpaper for the most part anywhere, although it's starting to creep back in. So if you looked at it in the listing service, you would say, this looks like something built in 2024. And I could figure out the months of inventory you have just in things that look like they're brand new. And so if you think about it, if you know what type of inventory you have, where you show up relative to other listings, it can be a really, really exact science helping you figure out exactly where you need to list your home. So, Elena, I know that was a long answer to a short question. Hopefully that was good, valuable information. And hopefully those of you who were able to listen in to my answer to Elena's question were able to benefit as well. If you're going to list your home, you better know the months of inventory. If you're going to buy a home, you better know the months of inventory, because it will help you make really, really good decisions. Tax season passed recently. I don't know if you're like me. I had to pay more taxes. I'm not getting a refund. In fact, I don't ever remember getting a refund in my life. I think that's part of the nature of the beast for a self-employed entrepreneur. Margo and Tom in Norcross say they can't believe it. For the first time in years, we're getting a refund on our taxes. Should we use it toward buying a home? And as every good real estate agent should tell you, yes, you should. Now, if you're listening, you know that not everybody should take their tax refund and put it toward buying a new house. But the cool thing is that you can use your tax refund to put toward the down payment. So maybe you need $20,000 down and you're getting a $5,000 tax refund. You already have $15,000 saved. Well, that $5,000 could give you the total of $20,000 that you need. You'll also have, depending upon the purchase price, but if you're in the average price range, you'll have somewhere between 2.25% of your loan amount to, let's just say, 2.75% of your loan amount. So if you had a $500,000 loan amount, you might have, somewhere in the $10,000 to $12,000 in closing cost, and you could use your refund toward the closing cost. And as something you might not have even thought of or considered, Margo and Tom, you could use your tax refund to permanently buy down your interest rate. When I purchased my townhome, interest rates, 30-year fixed, were 6.75%. I actually paid at that time 1.25 discount point, so I paid 1.25% of the mortgage, and I bought the rate down by 1%, or bought it down to 6% even. So it's made a big difference in my payment over the years. So you can put it towards your down payment. You can contribute towards your closing cost. You can lower your mortgage interest rate, or you could just save your money and use it to improve your home after you buy it. Maybe the cabinets need to be refreshed, or the garage floor needs to be redone, or maybe you need some cosmetic upgrades in the master bathroom. You could use your tax refund toward that. At GoGaddis Radio, our goal is to help listeners go from real estate novices to expert. We want home selling and buying to be done with total confidence and without all the worry that's so typical with life's biggest investments. We don't really want you to learn anything at closing or after that you should have learned before. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Mortgage 101. If you don't have enough money set aside for a down payment, what do you do? And what are assumable mortgages? Are there such things as mortgages, current mortgages, that you can assume? We've got those subjects and more. We'll be back.